This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? This is a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Running a little behind today, but that is nothing new here. It is 4:09 with Ropp and Souk.
USA!
Anyone?
No.
Yes!
Yes. Maybe.
Hold on!
I don't know. What's happening?
No one's interested in my energy that I'm bringing to the table?
What?
Your John Gruden fake enthusiasm? You did have a little pep in your step there.
I did.
It's the new slicked back hair.
It's because I'm about America. And by the way, I'm test driving Dave LaRogge to take over for you.
What?
Soon.
Oh, the LaRogge brothers?
This is going to become the Dave LaRogge show.
Now,
he's going to fill your seat.
Who's the other LaRogge brother? Why not him?
I don't know. Well, it's because he's not on the ads.
Well, why can't
you care about him?
Maybe he's the better LaRogge brother. You don't know.
I do know. I have heard the ads. Dave has bits.
Taking the game show?
Dave's bringing his bits to this show.
Dave and Ron Pivo?
Hey,
am I bugging you, Rob?
How do you suppose Ron's doing?
I think he's selling real estate, last I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Here in town?
No, I think he's down in California. Let me work a quick Google for you.
Yeah, that's a good gig if you can if you can get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Better than this.
That's what a lot of radio and TV people do. They just, they get fired. Or they don't know what the hell to do after they, realize that, maybe they should try something else.
Well, he's got ronpivo.com.
And then they just go take their real estate license. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's like the default thing to do.
Sure. This says, if you go to ronpivo.com, it says award-winning journalist, writer, social media specialist.
Not award-winning.
I beg to differ.
That's totally overblown.
Says right here.
Am I bugging you, Ron?
News and sports anchor and reporter. And
he's still clinging to that, huh?
He's very stern, but
wait,
also has an everyman sort of thing because his sleeves are rolled up.
So he's a realtor, but he's put that on that, like, that's his bio. Not that I sell homes all over California and I'm really great at it, which he probably is.
No, I'm looking right here.
It's just, that's weird.
And he was the 2007 Oregon Associated Press best sportscast.
Okay, but is his realty website, or this is like his?
No, it just says ronpivo.com.
This is just his self promotion.
It's just his self promotion.
Yeah.
Sweet. He was also 2006 Oregon Association broadcaster's best single story. All right, do you want to apologize?
No, not at all.
Because those sound like awards to me.
What story was it?
Oh, best single story. 2004 National Association of Sports Broadcasters and Sports Writers. He was the Oregon Sports Announcer of the Year.
Yeah.
Take that.
That's amazing.
Don't tell me.
He beat out Jay Allen, the only two people that applied for it.
Don't tell me that he's not
congratulations.
Award winning. I don't know. He's got his own website. Do you have your own website?
No. Sometimes people sell insurance, too. They get turf from this business. They go sell insurance.
That's true.
That's always a good one.
That's my plan.
Yeah? I thought you were going to sell cars.
Yeah, I suppose I could do that, too. But
are you going to go work for your boy?
Like the insurance game, right? And then just wait for the big one to hit and file bankruptcy.
I think you'd be a good car salesman.
Be an auctioneer. Yeah, I got two, I got three, I got four. And can I put you in a used Explorer, Isaac Ropp?
No, you can't. No. All right, so Antonio Brown is back.
Yeah.
With the Raiders, he reported.
His feetsies are feeling
now,
much better.
Is he practicing? It's very unclear.
The photo I saw today, he was in uniform.
He was, but he had a stocking cap on and not a helmet. Here we go with the helmet thing again.
Well, apparently he's found a helmet.
Yeah, okay, so wait, let's reset this.
Yeah.
So he wanted to use his old helmet.
Yes.
But he can't. because the NFL says no.
Yeah.
Because the helmets in the NFL have all been upgraded. Well,
hell no.
There was a ProFootballTalk.com reader who discovered that if Antonio Brown were to find a helmet that is the model that he wants to wear, that is, that was manufactured between 2010 and 2011, because it is not 10 years old, because they were discontinued in 2011.
Yeah.
Then he could, based on NFL rules, wear that helmet if the league approved it.
Exactly. So here's the thing. The NFL,
so he found one.
He found one. Now, he found one that was made in 2009 or 10, so he can get 1 or 2 years out of it. He's looking for one in 2011, so in a couple years, maybe even next year,
yeah,
we're going to run into this problem again.
Yeah, because then it, because anything over 10 years old, you can't use.
They cannot use. So. And here's the other problem. The NFL main, everyone keeps saying that if he finds one of these, it's going to be okay. And that's not necessarily true. The NFL did not test these helmets and certify them or decertify them because they stopped making them. So the NFL said, this is a non-issue. They stopped making them. They're over 10 years old. We're not even going to look into this. Well, now that someone has dug up one of these helmets that were made in 2009 and supposedly one in 2010, they still have to go through the NFL. And there's a lot of people that I've read are saying the NFL isn't going to sign off on this because the helmet is still outdated and the technology is bad and they don't think it's going to pass their safety standard test. So he may go through all of this only to have the NFL be like, no.
Which, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
he'll still play. This story's dumb. But Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, and he said that, I don't know where they got it. He didn't say where they got it. So wouldn't that be cool if you, like, you were the guy that had that?
Yeah.
Because you said you still have some of your old helmets?
I still have some of my old helmets.
Did you happen to check them to make sure that...
well, mine wouldn't work. He needs a large.
Yeah, right.
And mine would be an extra large.
Yeah.
So it would not work. Now, they said that some of these were made probably for college programs that had specifically liked this model. And so that's maybe where this one came from. But he put it out, and so did Rosenhaus. They were asking people on like Twitter, hey, is there an old equipment manager somewhere? You know, did you run a youth program and you use these sitting in a garage somewhere?
Somebody had one.
Someone had one. They're still looking for a 2011 model, and yeah, they haven't found it. I guess they found
that way he can use it for maybe 2 years.
2 years. They found, I supposedly, one from 2009, and I think they said a few, 2009, 2010, but no 2011.
And Rosenhaus said he would have to get it reconditioned and recertified, and still, as you said, no guarantee NFL approves it. But anyway, that's the latest on Antonio Brown. He is back in the Raiders camp. And look, the most important thing is John Gruden was asked, hey, do you expect Antonio Brown ready to go for week one? And of course, Gruden's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really all that matters.
And he did say that his tootsies,
they're healing.
They're feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
He's working towards 100%.
They're healing. All right. Coming up next, let's get to a little college football. Did you know that college football is only 11 days away?
I did know that. And by the way, it is official. He is not practicing.
Because of his feet.
He's there.
Or his helmet.
That it doesn't say. But he is.
For God's sakes.
He's at practice. He's not practicing.
Well, maybe we'll get some insight into that tonight on Hard Knocks.
He did. Someone asked him. I found this article, and
although that's from last week, so
yeah. So he won't even probably
maybe
be
episode
there.
Three. We will be able to.
When someone asked Antonio Brown when he would practice, when he returned to practice, Brown said, "Stay tuned."
Yeah.
So
leaving it open,
jackass.
Don't commit to anything.
He's such a rube.
All right. Pac-12 football begins in 11 days. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Today, we'll find out how healthy our work-life balance in Portland is because there's a new ranking. You know, I love my rankings.
You do love your rankings.
And where Portland ranks.
So, like, as far as, like, recreation or just not obsessing about work?
Yes. Yeah. What U.S. cities?
We can't all be workaholics like you and me.
That's right. What U.S. cities overwork themselves the most, and what U.S. cities are the most balanced, and where does Portland rank on that spectrum?
Okay.
We're going to find out. And we're going to find that out, ladies and gentlemen, next.
Together.
Together.
Yeah.
We'll hold hands. Huddle around your radios, but only in 10 minutes. Because right now, we're only going to talk about little old college football. Stupid old college football. It's back.
Well, not yet, but.
It's back in 11 days.
Coming back.
I looked it up today.
You sure your math is right?
Yes. I am. Guess who's playing? You know what the first game is? Pac-12.
Oh, I thought you meant just the first game.
The first big game.
The first game in college football.
Is Miami and Florida.
Okay.
But Pac-12.
It's the Pac-12. It's Division I football.
It's Kevin Sumlin and Arizona going to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, because that's the week zero game. Like, you get to play.
Yeah.
Arizona plays 13 games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you play Hawaii.
Remember we talked to.
Yeah, you play Hawaii, you get that extra game.
There's only two games that Saturday, and it's those two that you mentioned.
Miami and Florida and Arizona, Hawaii.
Yeah. And then they come back with that vicious Northern Arizona game. But then they get Texas Tech, so not a bad schedule for Arizona.
Reason I bring this up is I saw you love your Pro Football Focus.
I do. I think it's a very good website. I think we sometimes can get into trouble, believing that that is like the universal definitive answer on things. Some people question, the way they grade and how accurate it is, but it gives you a rough idea of things that I think are harder to judge when you're watching a game with your own two eyes.
Well, they're very comprehensive over there.
Yes.
And they're mostly regarding the NFL, but they do dabble in college, and they had a guy who put together the rankings of all 130 FBS quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I hope you got paid a lot of money for that, yes. Or you've got some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder, because that's
crazy.
That's brutal.
It is brutal, and sometimes, you look through some of this and go, wait, he's what?
So you had to go through.
He went through every one of them.
So you're telling me that he watched every snap of every game that these guys
here's
played?
Here's what he said. The college football season is nearly upon us, and after months of scraping the PFF data on all the projected starting quarterbacks for this season, it's time we unveil our starting quarterback rankings. Coming through our play-by-play data ad nauseum, these rankings take into account a quarterback's PFF grade, both from last season and all other subsequent sets of data that we have on their time in college.
I wonder how much of that is individual and how much of that is like, I don't know, they've got like a computer that goes through and just takes raw data.
Yeah, I think, they're very analytics focused.
Yeah, I just know like when they grade offensive linemen, it's literally someone that has to go through and watch and grade each individual lineman. I find that hard that one guy or a team of guys went through and graded every snap of projected quarterbacks. A lot of them are going to be first-year guys, so I don't know how you grade them.
And he says that in here. They're lower down the list because it's like we just don't know.
Sure.
But he says the list projects these players as the starter, but is also influenced by the situation behind the projected starting quarterback if he were to miss any amount of time going forward.
Okay.
Following our PFF College 50, the countdown, the top 50 overall players in college football, here are the rankings for the starting quarterbacks. By the way, the last guy on the list, dead last, 130th. It's the guy from Rutgers.
Mike, how are you feeling about that?
Sorry, Mike.
I don't care.
Go score next.
I have no affinity for them.
No love for Jersey, huh, Mike? You jerk. At least it's not Kansas.
That's the lowest Power 5 guy. Yeah, the Kansas guy ain't much better. But, he's 110th. I don't know his name. I think it's, it says it's Thomas McVitie.
Ooh.
Yeah, be careful saying that one. So Pac-12 has three in the top 10.
Really? Well, you got Herbert.
Herbert's number three overall.
You got Costello.
So the number one quarterback overall is, of course, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Number two is Tua at Alabama. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson.
Yeah.
Tua at Alabama. Number three is Justin Herbert. And here's what they write about Herbert. They say Herbert may have regressed a bit in 2018, but that's just because his 2017 season reached a level so high, he was bound to revert back to the mean. His two-year grade at quarterback is among the nation's best, and he still is one of the nation's best deep ball throwers. In fact, even with eight dropped deep passes, no returning quarterback had more than six, he still finished with 942 yards and 13 touchdowns on throws targeted at least 20 yards downfield. He was surgical from a clean pocket last year and threw 24 touchdowns compared to just three interceptions, both of which are top figures among returners.
Wow, that's a nice little attaboy for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's often overlooked about him.
Yeah.
is he is money on deep balls. Like, he's just he's one of the biggest arms in the game,
throws a very good deep ball. I think
NFL prospect.
Some of the criticism locks in on one receiver too much, and then again, sometimes the intermediate stuff. But you're right, he throws a great deep ball.
The Houston quarterback is number four. His name is De'Eric King. Mm-hmm. Number five is North Texas, Mason Fine.
Don't know anything about him. I saw the Houston kid last year. He was a converted wide receiver. Or like a slot, you know, they run some of that flex bone stuff. And I always thought that was interesting. Houston, I guess, does this all the time, is they groom their quarterbacks by having the quarterback play other positions. So it's like the whoever their next starting quarterback is, chances are he's playing running back or flanker or somewhere in the slot. And they just kind of rotate him through. And so this guy last year, I'm assuming he's the returning starter. The name sounds familiar. But yeah, he was like a receiver that they converted.
And I heard North Texas' offense was a ton of fun last year, so that makes sense that their quarterback would also be
I just haven't seen anything from North Texas.
Yeah, they say the Houston kid is one of the most electric players in college football. And Mason Fine, if you don't know him by now, they say you've missed out. He's like their record holder for pretty much everything now.
Yeah, North Texas.
And he's back.
They put up an S ton of points.
Number six, Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger. Number seven, Stanford's KJ Costello.
Yeah.
Did you think he was a top seven guy in the country?
I don't know about top seven, but I figured he would be up there. When you said that the Pac-12 had three of them, the first two, Herbert.
I kind of gave it away.
Well, Costello
was... Because he's the second best quarterback in the league.
Well, some people think he's the first. Last year, Costello was first team all Pac-12. It wasn't Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but I mean, I think just on overall overall skill set.
Sure.
Justin Herbert's better than Costello. He's got to put up the numbers. He's got to prove that with the numbers, but...
But I think that's interesting. Like,
you would take Herbert over Costello.
I don't know how many people honestly know that Costello was the all Pac-12 quarterback, not Justin Herbert.
So this writes, Costello is making a push to be the best quarterback in the Pac-12, and if it weren't for Herbert's dominant 2017, has a rightful claim to that throne after last year. Still, Costello returns as the nation's leader in deep passing yards and is well up on the list of many other PFF signature stats for the position. He pushes the ball down the field, turning Stanford back into a pass-heavy offense, and for the first time in several years, the Cardinal ran more passes than runs in 2018. I'll be interested to see if they keep that style, though. I mean, they kind of had to open it up last year.
Yeah.
Because they were getting nothing out of their run game.
They couldn't run
at
all.
But you know they're going to go back and try to pound it a little bit.
I don't. You've heard whispers, and they were even talking about it down at media day, that this may be a more evolved Stanford offense, that it's not going to necessarily be ground and pound. They don't have a bevy of backs, and that this may be more on Costello's arm. And people are pointing out, and this is correct, Costello was not the first team all Pac-12 player. That was Gardner Minshew. He was the offensive player of the year. Costello was the second team. Herbert was not. So as great as we all think Herbert is going to be, and obviously the pro prospects, he was not the first or the second team all league quarterback last year. That was Minshew and Costello.
So Costello 7. Number 8 is Iowa State's Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. Number 9 is Georgia's Jake Fromm. And then number 10 is the third Pac-12 quarterback.
My guess was going to be Jacob Eason.
No,
it can't be.
I thought maybe he got some playing time down there.
Transfer me, go find him.
I'm trying to think. So it's not Khalil Tate. He's god awful. Arizona State just named a freshman quarterback. It's not going to be DTR at UCLA. Cal ran two last year. Washington State's got a new guy. Who am I missing?
Colorado, they have, Utah.
They have Jacob Eason, 36th.
Is it Montez at Colorado? Colorado?
Nope. You glossed right over him. You said he's god awful, but they have him 10th. Arizona's Khalil Tate.
Oh no.
That's what they have.
2 years ago, he was good, right?
So here's what it says: Tate's 2018 season suffered from a change in scheme and a new head coach in Kevin Sumlin. As fun a prospect that we've seen over the past 2 years, if he can return to the form that saw him as a Heisman candidate in 2017, when he utilized his legs more, the 2019 season could be much different for Wildcat faithful. His two-year rushing grade is third, only behind Ohio's Nathan Rourke and Virginia's Bryce Perkins. So again, remember, this is statistic. It's heavy on stats.
Okay.
This is not like these guys aren't scouts. They're not watching film. They're it's based on all the numbers that they have in their system from their time in college.
This Khalil Tate sucked. I mean, there's just no other way around. He was awful last year.
Yeah, but they were talking about 2017.
It is including
again,
2 years ago where he was sensational.
They're using their entire body of work. Number 11 is Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. The next Pac-12 guys on the list, Ian Book, by the way, 18th. The next Pac-12 guys are the Utah quarterback, Tyler Huntley at 27, and the Colorado quarterback, Steven Montez at 28.
But I'll tell you what, though, my head's sewn to the carpet. If you would have told me that the third Pac-12 quarterback was Khalil Tate, you're right, I did. I glossed right over it. I was sitting there looking through, and I'm...
You know what's interesting, though, too?
We just didn't get it.
Do you remember Kelly Bryant?
Yeah.
You know, he was at Clemson. And
now he's at Missouri.
He won the title at Clemson, or they lost in the final?
They lost. Well, they didn't lose in the final. They lost in the semifinal. Alabama beat the brakes off of him.
Oh, that's right.
And then he won the job coming out of camp, but early on there were some struggles, and that's when supposedly the Dabo knew that if they were going to get where they needed to go, Kelly Bryant was not going to be able to throw him there, and he went with Lawrence. And
so if you're basing it off of a lot of stats, which the Pro Football Focus guys do, and the stats in their career, Kelly Bryant, would be pretty high on the list. He's 29th at Missouri. Remember, he went to Missouri.
Well, he's 16. I think he's 16-2 as a starter.
Yeah.
He was a Heisman Trophy candidate that first year. They thought a lot of him. It was just he had to replace Deshaun Watson, and he wasn't Deshaun Watson.
So for Eason, ranked 36, they say Eason hasn't played a meaningful set of downs since the 2016 season with Georgia, but he has all the tools to be a top-quality starter at the Power 5 level. After a full season in the Huskies' offense, Eason is just a season away from living up to his five-star pedigree. He certainly looks the part, 6'6", 227. Yeah. So, again, that's like a lack of they don't have much, many stats on him.
And Eason's interesting, not having seen him. He won the job at Georgia as a freshman, got hurt, and then never got the job back from Fromm, and he transferred out. But I know some people that are follow the UW program really closely, and he's an interesting – the verdict is very split on him. With fans. And it's interesting because he hasn't played. So it's
don't they like him?
You can only go off of practice and kind of rumors, but – I've heard from people inside and outside the program that not everyone is sold on him, that he looks the part and he shows flashes of it, but
so what's the problem?
Inconsistent. That he doesn't.
Is he like Browning?
No. Browning was the smart kid that without the physical tools, yeah. This guy supposedly has everything you could want. This would be more Jake Locker, than Jake Browning. Browning was just viewed as a guy that gave you everything he had, just was limited with what that was.
He put up some big numbers a couple years ago, though.
Yeah, Browning did. His junior year, he had a monster season. That was when they went to the college football playoff, and then they got shillelied by Alabama. And then the senior year was up and down and consistent. But I'll be interested, of all the Pac-12 quarterbacks, I think there's a lot of interesting storylines in the Pac-12. I think Herbert's an interesting one, because, again, for all the love, hasn't been an all Pac-12 performer. So I think he's got some pressure to live up. If Stanford, we talked about it, if Stanford really is going to go to more of a pass-happy attack, does Costello have that breakout year? Is this the year that DTR at UCLA and Chip Kelly kind of find the rhythm? Because he had all kinds of hype as a freshman at UCLA, and now another year under Chip. Can Khalil Tate make a comeback to the 2017 form? Arizona State is starting a true freshman for the first time in, it's like 25 years or something. Utah supposedly has everything you can need in order to make a run of the college football playoff if they can find find a quarterback in Huntley and if he can stay healthy. Washington State having to replace Gardner Minshew. I just think there's a lot of really interesting storylines in the Pac-12. I don't think there's a team that you circle and just say, obviously, Stanford and Oregon feel real good about theirs. But I think even those, there's some question marks. So I just think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
All right. And then we got to run, but the Oregon State quarterback, Jake Luton, they have him ranked 49th. And they say Luton enters the 2019 season with the best supporting cast in his career and perhaps his best situation overall. For the first time in his career, he will have the same offensive coordinator in back-to-back seasons and has an array of receivers to move the ball to. All this just adds to the fact that he finished last season with a career-high overall grade and passing grade. If Tristan Jebbia beats out the Giant quarterback 6'7", 230, it will be for good reason and also deserving of this place on the list. Hmm. So Luton, 49th.
Well, I think Oregon State's got a chance to be.
That's better than I thought.
Yeah.
Really?
I think Oregon State's got a chance to be good on offense. Again, I don't know how many wins it means on the other side of the ball, but I thought last year, just from a scheme standpoint, without a whole lot to work with, they showed me something. And this year, with an improved offensive line, and if Luton stays healthy, weapons on the outside, deep backfield, top six, top seven offense in the Pac-12, I think that's realistic for Oregon State. I just don't know if you can stop anybody.
So that's the list done by Pro Football Focus of every college starting quarterback, all 130 of them for the upcoming season. Justin Herbert of the Ducks, third. All right, in the news coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 4:41 on The Fan with Robin Zook running a little bit behind still. Gosh.
Yeah, I'd say that.
That college football. It is August 13th, 2019, Jace. It is time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. You know what today is.
August 13th?
Well, yes. Do you know what today really is?
August 13th, 2019.
It is International Left-Handers Day. Thank you. It is my day.
The old Southpaw.
Our day.
Yes. Well, not our day, because it's not.
Well, us lefties.
You lefties.
10% of the world's population is left-handed, and no one really understands why.
And do you know that you guys die at a higher rate than we do?
False.
That is true.
It is not
true. You are more accident prone.
You need to look that up. That has been debunked.
I'll do it right now.
That is because a lot of the reason they say that is a myth or an urban legend is because a lot of young people were forced into being right-handed back in the day.
I'm looking right here that...
incorrect.
It's not true. 9 years younger than right-handers on a basis right here.
It is not true.
9 years.
Fake news.
Not according to the BBC.
It's been debunked.
Are you saying that you're better than the BBC?
I'm just saying, do your homework.
Or you just want to be right because you're left-handed.
Do your homework, JC, baby. You owe it to your listeners to be better than that.
No, I don't. I don't care.
You don't.
I don't care about left-handers.
It is also National Filet.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
Yes, you do.
My son's lefty, though.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
A little tiny Y, huh?
Yeah.
Good for him.
He can do a lot of things both, but...
means he's amazing.
He's a lefty.
We not only survive in a right-handed world, we thrive, Jace. So, except at golf driving ranges where they refuse to admit that we exist.
Yeah, you can't do that.
We can't find a lefty mat anywhere.
No.
Although Langdon is cutting edge. They have mats that are bisexual.
Oh. That means they don't identify, right?
Yes. They're somewhere on that.
Not a he or a she, yeah. It's a
you
they.
You can hit either way, you know, as they say.
Yeah.
It is also National Filet Mignon Day. Okay, man found dead at the zoo. How about that?
Oh,
did you read that?
No, what
dead
happened?
Dead guy.
Here in the Portland Zoo?
Yes. The Oregon Zoo. He was in the rhino exhibit.
Why do people always want to go in the exhibits with the deadly animals?
Well, there were no rhinos in there.
Oh.
So how did he die?
Where were the rhinos?
The rhinos have been moved. You went to the zoo recently.
But
the rhinos...
Well,
they moved them because they're doing a lot of construction over there.
There is a lot of construction going on. But when I went there, I saw rhinos. They were there.
Yeah, this must be the one that the rhino exhibit that they're building.
Okay.
For the rhinos.
All right.
And this guy's name was Carl Stanley Ross Sr., not to be confused with Carl Stanley Ross Jr.
He's dead, by the way, Jr.
62 years old. And he went to see a show at the zoo Saturday night, and he went missing, and they just found him today in the construction zone of the rhino exhibit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see this. Do we know?
They found his body yesterday at 10 a.m.
Do we know what happened? He just...
they don't know.
He just was in the rhino exhibit,
They
huh?
don't know. They don't know what happened, so...
Interesting.
Rest in peace.
Ghost rhino?
The best cities in the United States... Did you say ghost rhino?
Yeah.
Interesting question.
I mean,
It could be.
He was in the rhino exhibit. Something got him. Ghost rhino? I don't know.
Best cities in the U.S. for best... Or best and worst cities for work-life balance.
Okay.
This is a 2019 up-to-date survey. And this is done by a company called KISI. And they compared data on work intensity, institutional support, legislation, livability. And their study revealed a ranking of cities based on their success in promoting work-life balance to their citizens. So can you guess the top five cities for best work-life balance?
In the United States.
In the U.S. Yeah, it's only U.S.
I'll say Denver.
They did the world, too, but...
Give me Denver.
No.
All right.
Not in the top five.
Portland.
Number two.
Yeah.
We are number two.
Number two. San Diego.
San Diego's number one.
There you go.
Which, that's... If you've ever done any business in San Diego at all, you know that that is very... Very accurate.
Just kind of laid back.
They take their time down there.
Yeah. What about like a Honolulu, Bob?
They get back to you when they want to.
That's Honolulu? Hawaii.
No.
No?
No, because... No.
No. What about a Nashville or an Austin?
No. Number three is San Francisco.
Huh. That throws me for
the
loop.
Bay Area bros.
I kind of thought that there'd be a lot of...
They're all highfalutin now.
Yeah, I kind of thought people would be down there grinding.
San Felusco, you ever been there?
No.
You ever been to San Felusco?
I have not.
Great city.
I'd like to visit.
No, San Francisco has turned into a bit of a cesspool, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of human feces on the ground, and it's
turning into a toilet.
You got a lot of high-end bros and then a lot of the low-lows.
Number four, Minneapolis. And number five is New York City. Now, that should surprise you.
Really?
Yes.
New York?
Yes.
Play hard, work hard, that sort of thing? Because New Yorkers just seem miserable.
It says this rankings aims to be a guideline for cities to benchmark their ability to support the fulfillment of residents' lives by improving the aspects of life that help relieve work-related stress and intensity.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Top overworked cities.
Los Angeles.
No. Oh, hell no.
No?
West Coast is... There is one West Coast city on here, which... Actually, this one surprises me. But it's number four.
Number four, like Sacramento, maybe?
Seattle? Seattle is number four. Overworked.
All right, and then so overworked.
Chicago is five.
Boston, maybe?
No.
Washington, D.C.
That's number one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Washington, D.C. is number one. Houston is two, and Atlanta is three.
Oh, all right. So we're doing pretty good.
We're doing great.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, this is what all the East Coasters call... Well, I think the East Coasters like to complain about this.
Yeah.
That you come out here and...
laid back kind of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like everybody's out of work by 1 o'clock on a Friday, yeah.
What
know,
do they say? Portland's where you go when you're 26 to retire, right?
Yeah, but
I mean, retiring from the grind.
But if you're in the workforce here,
yeah. Damn right.
you've seen these elements. It's like, man, a lot of these people don't ever work. It seems
come
like
come to our office. You show up here like 2:30 and everything's gone.
Yeah. So you see it firsthand, and everybody, like a lot of people that aren't used to it, call it a negative. But actually, it's just work-life balance. That's what that is.
All right.
And it's quite good.
Go us.
Some of the best in the country.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about this. I feel like I've got a decent balance going on.
I do too. I feel good about my work-life balance.
Damn right.
Mike, do you feel good about your work-life balance, buddy?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Right. That was a clear shot at Jeff Austin.
Yeah, that was
our program director.
That was one of those.
And his boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. I'll address it in my
salvos.
In my meeting.
Salvos have been fired.
Jeff, my annual review. Address it. Coming up next. Okay, sales are up. So kids are getting ready to go back to school.
Yes.
Okay. Sales for this item are up 300%.
I think I know what this is.
As kids get ready to go back to school.
It's going
to
be something stupid, and I got an idea what this is.
We'll get to it next. This is In the News, 449 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Just so that, you know... You can be a better person. I'm only doing this for you. It is a myth that left-handed people die earlier than right-handed people.
So says you.
No, so says a study of 89 various studies involving 21,000 patients.
A study of other studies?
Yeah.
Sounds legitimate.
Well, no, it is legitimate because they studied all of the studies that have studied this. And what they've found is...
Sounds like left-handed propaganda to me.
There is no systematic tendency to suffer from any disorders of the immune system.
How is studying studies legitimate?
Yeah, wrong.
You're just studying other people's work.
Because basically what they're doing is they're studying all of the people that have been studied. So it's like the most comprehensive of all
studies. Left-handers are more accident-prone and they die of accidents.
So what they found was... that if you were born in the early 1900s, you were likely pressured to become right-handed at an early age, and you would not identify as left-handed at death. And that's and that was published in like the 80s, and so everybody said, "Ah, look at that! It's lefties are dying," and they're actually just not. So.
No one's believing your
propaganda. It's also on Snopes. I know Snopes is like the end-all to be-all, so if you'd like to look it up on there, it is also false.
I'll listen to the BBC.
So sales are up 300% for this product as we head back to school. Is it crayons? Ooh. Is it iPhones?
I had a guess, but...
Is it protractors? You remember the protractor?
I do remember the protractor.
Is it... What are those dumb calculators we had to buy?
Yeah, the
those,
Texas Instruments.
The TI... Yeah, they're like 100
bucks. TI-83s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the TI-83SXV
I'll tell you
Pro
what,
model?
You were no one unless you had a TI-83.
You did have to have that.
Yeah. And all
I'd
because...
I'd hope to be a TI-84s by now.
And all you could...
By all the letters.
Maybe even 85s.
And the only thing you could do on it was graph. And you...
That's right.
Like $1,000, you never use it again.
I played Snake on it.
Oh, there you go. I was gonna say because I
Block Man.
I've seen some stories and I thought maybe
you
it was
probably
this.
Know where we're going here.
Is it bulletproof backpacks?
Bulletproof backpacks.
I've seen three or four stories about this.
Yes, that is the thing. 300% sales are up, and there is absolutely no evidence, concrete evidence that they would protect your child.
Well,
but they are offering them and people are buying them.
Well, it's because people are fear-mongering and they're using it to sell people products. And I'm guessing these aren't cheap, right? I don't know what a
bulletproof... You know, I don't know how much they are.
But first off, high-velocity rounds, your bulletproof backpack isn't going to save you. Unless you got like a metal plate in there. You know, do that. You have your kid carry around the 15-pound metal plate.
They're like 100 and... This one... Well, Yeti makes one. It's $175.
All right. So you spend $175 so that you can have some sort of false sense of security. Oh, and by the way.
Never mind. It's cooler.
In a mass shooting scenario, you really think your 8-year-old
fake news.
Is going to strap on his backpack and then use that as some sort of human shield? Come on.
Well, no, they're supposed to like hold it in front of their faces.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. And believe me, I worry every day about school shootings. I've talked about it when I drop my kid off at school. It always makes me uncomfortable. But you're just wasting money. That's all it is. You're just giving a company money.
Well, it serves as a backpack. Put your books in there.
All you're doing, though, is you're feeding a company that, to me, is trying to take advantage of legitimate fears. And I think that's sad. And so don't do it. Take my advice. Don't do it because it's ridiculous. There's no benefit to you.
They retail for between $120 and $300.
Yeah.
Depending on how bulletproof they are.
How bulletproof they are.
Yeah. I made that part up.
Don't do it.
You're very fired up about this subject.
I am. Well, it bothers me. I don't like people that profit off
of
fear mongering.
Well, the gun thing is it's just gotten absurd.
Yes.
It's just gotten so absurd. And this is yet another, you know. Sliver in that pie.
Well, and just and again,
that makes sense.
There's someone laughing right now that's like just clean it up, making a mint, and they're doing it based on legitimate fears of parents, and that sucks. I don't think you should be rewarded for
and
that.
I will go ahead and read that again. I'm just trying to make you better, Mike. I'm just trying to make you better, but yes, you, I'm talking to you.
Okay.
The Texas police are in, and the study of all studies and research is called meta-analysis, and it is typically considered very strong, comprehensive evidence. So, just
fake news.
Trying to make you better. All right, that's
Wrong.
It. We're in the news for August 13th. We'll have another one of these tomorrow when we get a new day, and it's August 14th in the news. I have an update on... I have an update on all the abandoned boats that we have around here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been reading about that.
I have seen that.
I'm fascinated by that.
Thinking about taking one.
You should. I mean, I think, well, we'll get into it tomorrow.
I want a boat.
I want one, too.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, how do you abandon a boat?
Yeah, it's my boat now.
All right, so the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Arizona State has chosen a quarterback. A little bit of a surprise there. Seahawks, Russell Wilson news, and Oregon lands another big recruit. All next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.